Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the book of Ruth, chapter 3, and the 11th verse. The book of Ruth, chapter 3, and verse 11. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. The book of Ruth, chapter 3, and verse 11, and now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. This is a very sacred and blessed book in God's holy word. And so many over the years have received many divine blessings through it. And there are so many divine teachings in it. Lessons that the real child of God will have to learn. And I want to begin by looking at a few of them. Firstly, dear Naomi had to learn a very hard lesson. Sometimes, you know, we have to learn hard lessons. It's like a child that may be at school. There are those lessons they have to learn that seem very hard. And so it is with the child of God. And what a lesson there is in her case. Firstly, because her and her husband went out in a time of famine. You know, there's a solemn lesson there. Our old nature and the flesh would so often get out of a time of famine, wouldn't it? Whether it be a natural famine as it was here, or a famine spiritually. It's hard to walk in a time of famine, but you see, that famine that had come had not come by chance. It was all part of the purposes of heaven. And in the course of those 10 years, while she went down into Moab, she had to learn some very hard things. So they went out in a time of famine. And we need to pause really here, because the Lord permitted her to go with her husband. You know, your late beloved pastor used to be very strong on this. The Lord has his ordained will and his permissive will. His ordained will was with Naomi, that her and her husband should dwell in the land of Bethlehem, Judah. That was God's ordained will. But when the famine came, they went out And the Lord, in his permissive will, permitted her to go with her husband and with her sons. And they went down to Moab. And in that course of 10 years, while she was there, you think of the bitter things she had to walk through. Firstly, the loss of her husband. Oh, when you know these things come, does it not bring home to us why they've come? And then she had the loss of her 2 sons in marriage, so she was left alone. And then she had the great loss of her 2 sons being taken by death. And in the course of that decade, she went through some hard things. And what does she say about it? Well, she says this. When she returned to Bethlehem, Judah, I went out full. You notice the word in that. We often read it and forget. But there's a solemn teaching there. She says, I went out. She didn't say the Lord led her down to Moab, did she? I went out. They went out of their own will, and the Lord permitted them to. I went out full. But then she says this, and the Lord hath brought me home again, empty. Notice the 2 things. I went out. But the Lord brought me back. And why did he bring her back? Because he loved her with an everlasting love. But oh, look at the solemn lesson she had to learn in it all. You know, there are sometimes hard things we may have to learn when we go out or go against the Lord in any matter. And he, because he loves his dear children, what does the apostle say? Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So there is that solemn side of the lesson. And it may be there are those of you that are walking in things that are very solemn, very searching. It may be in your soul because Satan is attacking you. It may be in your providential pathway. It may be in the family. It may be some of the trials we have to go through in throughout Zion. And what did Naomi go on further to say? Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me. It was a solemn searching lesson, and the dear woman took it by the grace of God, and what did it do? It humbled her in the dust, how the Lord had dealt with her. But you know, the Lord in his divine purposes was to wonderfully balance the cloud with this dear woman. And when she returns, she puts her daughter-in-laws to the test. You know, if you've got a real religion, and I have, we shall have to go through some solemn tests. And she was the means in the hand of God, Naomi was, to put these two daughter-in-laws to the test as she returns. Whether they would go back with her or no. We don't find her doing anything naturally speaking like religious professors do today. They say, oh, you come along with us, all will be well. We don't find that in the case of dear Naomi. She puts them to the test. And what does she say? Go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. And what happened? They both wept. They both lifted up their voice and wept. They both kissed her. Orpah went back to her gods and to her people. Oh, she did. That's where her heart was, you see. And remember, Moab was a place of many idols, much sin, much wickedness, we may say like the world today. Her heart had never been brought out of it. But so different it was with dear Ruth. I love the language of that dear soul. What did she say, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Is that the language of your heart and mine today? Solemn thing if it isn't. You see, really, there was this complete dividing line between Ruth and Orpah. One wanted the world, Orpah did, and all its religions, natural religion, and all its idols and sin. But Ruth's heart was brought right out of it. All she wanted to be was with the people of God. It's a lovely verse, isn't it? A lovely couplet of the hymn, really. And may it be so in each of you, dear young ones here and dear children, with them numbered may I be, now and through eternity. And that'll be the language, you see. And God had put it in her heart to go back to Bethlehem with dear Naomi. She said, "Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." And then we read this. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Dear Naomi had that wonderful discernment to discern how steadfast Ruth was in this. Nothing would move her, you see. The margin tells us how she was steadfastly to go with her, strengthened herself to go with her. And so they returned. The Lord was beginning in the heart of Naomi to balance the whole thing. She'd had all these losses, but now the Lord was balancing it all. Ruth was to go back with her. And not only this, but through the loins of Ruth was to come forth Obed, who was to be a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. Some of you may remember some years ago now, before I ever came as pastor, one Christmas morning here I preached from what the women said when Obed was born. And it's a beautiful word, I thought, when our dear brother read it this morning. How wonderful the word was. And what was it? And may the Holy Spirit whisper it to us today. He shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. This is what he was to be to Naomi. A restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. And you think in your heart and mind today, may the Lord whisper that to us. The hymn writer said, life restored and sin forgiven. But just a few things further before I come to the text. Another wonderful lesson was here, was how wonderfully the Lord led Ruth. Firstly, into the field of Boaz. To glean there. Now Boaz was a beautiful type, really, of the dear Lord Jesus. And in that field she was to glean among the reapers. And Boaz gave them a wonderful instruction. Those reapers, they got to let fall some handfuls of purpose. So she had a real gleaning time. Oh, how sweet it is in the field of God's house when there's a gleaning time. And a real God-sent servant, you know, from time to time will be like those reapers. They will let fall some handfuls of purpose from the Lord to his dear people. Oh yes. But then, in that field of Boaz, she was really humbled, you know, by the kindness of Boaz to her. And you know what it is when you're humbled in the field of God's house or in the field of God's word as you glean from it, to be humbled. She fell at his feet. Why have I found grace in thy sight, seeing I am but a stranger? She was melted by it all. Oh, she was. The kindness of Boaz to her. And think of the kindness of the Lord to your poor heart and mine today. And that kindness, you know, as we sing in the hymn, his loving kindness is, oh, how free. And it flows into sinners' hearts. But then, the Lord was to lead her further into the threshing floor. And this, in this third chapter that we read of this morning, she was led into that threshing floor. Now, just a word about the threshing floor. It's a place of solemn separation. It is where the wheat or barley or oats or rye is separated from the chaff and from the straw. It's a solemn thing, you know, if we've only got a religion of straw or just husk, isn't it? You see, what is of value to the husbandman is the grain, and it must be separated. But let us look at it in a few ways. Firstly, you know, the house of God is often a threshing floor where there's a solemn separation. Under the ministry, it's a wonderful thing, you know, when the Lord, and we think of the old servants of God, how their ministry was so searching and separating. It separates between the flesh and the spirit. The bone and the marrow, the word of God tells us, doesn't it? The straw and the chaff is separated from the real grain. So it was a threshing floor. It was a searching place. And this is where she come. But too, it's a blessed place in this sense, because there was the pure corn that had been separated, that which is of great value. And let's bring it home closer to my poor heart and yours. Do you know what it is when the Lord brings us in our hearts into a threshing floor? We're searched. It's a good prayer, you know, what the dear psalmist prayed, wasn't it? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And we need searching, don't we? You know, it's very solemn, you know, I think I've had it many times, and standing at the graves of those who we commit to Mother Earth, all that is of the flesh will be laid in the dust, in the earth. But all that that's of God will stand. Oh, it will. When we come to die. We may have loads of natural religion, but you know, when we come to that hour of death, it all die with us. It'll only be that which is of God that will stand. Solemn, yet blessed, if we've got a little that he has given us, the little that a righteous man hath, is better than the riches of many wicked. But in this threshing floor, dear Ruth was to be brought to lie at Boaz's feet. There's a very sacred word, isn't it? And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. She came softly. No noise. No great show, humbled to lie at the feet of Boaz. Do you and do I desire to be found at the Lord's dear feet? There's no room for self, there's no room for the things of this world at his dear feet. There's no room for pride or self-righteousness. All the sin that lies at his dear feet are want, to be the dear Redeemer. And you think of, well, we named two characters. You think of Legion. The Lord cast out all those devils from him. And brought him to sit at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And the dear man wanted to dwell there the rest of his life, didn't he? But the Lord said, go home to thy friends and tell what great things God hath done unto thee. But then think of dear Mary in the house of Simon the Pharisee. She knew what it was to be at his dear feet and wash his feet with her tears. Wipe them with the hairs of her head. You know, it's one of the sacred, most sacred places, if I know anything of it at all, is to sit at the Lord's dear feet. And it's one of the safest places we can ever be. Now this is where dear Ruth was brought. But this was not all. And this is what leads me to the text really, because he was to speak to her, Boaz was. One of the words that he spoke to her were in our text. And let's just read the verse previous, you see. He says, doesn't he, blessed be thou of the Lord my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And then our text, and now, my daughter, fear not. In begging of the Lord yesterday for a text to bring before you, the Lord dropped this in very sweetly early yesterday morning. And now, my daughter, the time had come for him to speak to her. Other those of you this morning that are longing to hear the Lord's voice, she was favoured to hear the voice of Boaz speaking to her. And it was not just the voice of Boaz, it was the Lord speaking. The time had come, and now. And I felt persuaded when the Lord dropped this text into my heart. There's a reason why he's given it to me. To bring before you, because there may be more than one, but there may be one here that needs this. Dear Ruth needed it. Oh, she did. And look in your heart and mine. Do you feel to need the Lord to speak this word to you today? The time has come for him to speak it, you see. And now. How precious it was to her that he should speak such a word. And now, it's just as though, and this is often the case with the Lord's dear children, when he comes and speaks to them, he comes and, Lord, it's now, and he speaks it now, because they need it now. We know there are times where the Lord tarries, don't misunderstand me. And he tarries off till men are faint and comes at evening late. But you see, when the time comes for the Lord to speak, it will be now. So relevant to the situation and to the need of the soul of the child of God. And this is just where Ruth was. And now. My daughter. Oh, how precious that is, isn't it? For the Lord to speak such a word to his dear daughters. And now, my daughter. What does it mean, really? He's firstly claiming her. My daughter. It's really, and it keeps coming to one's mind, so I will name it. It reminds me of when the Lord gave to David the word to speak to Solomon regarding building the temple. You know, David had it in his heart, didn't he? To build the house of God. And it was a beautiful desire in David's heart, but the Lord told him that he would not build it. Because he was a man of war and of blood. But Solomon would build it. And when the time came, there's a parallel word to our text. What David said, and now, my son, the Lord be with thee. And prosper thou and build the house of the Lord thy God as he has said of thee. The thing is, you see, and now the time had come. And my son, you see, the sons here today will need the Lord to speak. The daughters will, and they need him to come and claim them. My daughter, my daughter. Do You may look at somebody else's children and they may be your nephews or your nieces, or they may not be any relation to you. But when it comes to your own children, you can truly say, my son or my daughter, can't you? Because they're yours. The Lord has given them to you. And think about it spiritually. You know, many of the old saints, they used to so travail for souls. They could look at this one and that one and they say, well, before the Lord, humbly, Lord, but they're my sons spiritually, like the Apostle Paul did concerning Timothy and Titus. He addressed them as his sons in the faith. But far greater than this, the Lord has his sons and he has his daughters. He speaks, the Apostle Paul does, doesn't he? Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. And then listen, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. He was endorsed with the most divine authority it could ever be endorsed with when the apostle said that, saith the Lord God Almighty. And if we're his sons and his daughters, we're a favoured people, you know. Dear Ruth was to be wonderfully favoured here, wasn't she? And what does he say to her? And then I must leave it because of the time, but he says, and now, my daughter. Oh, may the Lord whisper that to your poor heart. Fear not. Fear not. She had many things to fear. She was in a foreign land, among a different people, but they were God's people. There's no doubt she had many fears. That's why he spoke to her this word, fear not. And I don't know what you may be in this morning or what you may have got before you. And you look at the things that concern you and they may be like mountains. And you sometimes fear they're going to crush you. But here's the sweet answer to it, poor soul. It's not my word, it's what the Lord said. Recorded by the blessed Holy Spirit. And now, my daughter, whatever it is, fear not. Amen.